A political earthquake has certainly shaken up Joe Biden and Democrats this week, with a big loss in Virginia providing a sobering outlook as to what could happen in the 2022 midterms. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. In what's been described as a political earthquake, Biden and Democrats have been shaken up as Virginia turned red, Republican Glenn Youngkin defeating Democrat Terry McAuliffe in the race for governor, and a closer result in New Jersey than Dems would have liked. A lot of people blaming the failures of the federal government to pass Joe Biden's agenda. What's your thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think last week I said that Trump was fading. And when you keep running against Trump, you're running against a ghost. You're making Trump look big when he isn't so big. So I think the Democrats have to start running on something not against Trump, but for X, Y, and Z. Furthermore, all these elections are local elections. The Virginia governorship is about as local as you can get. And it was won on schools and school boards, not on national issues. I think even if Biden's package passed, there's a good chance that McAuliffe wouldn't have won. I think the Democrats turned out, but the Republicans really turned out. And the suburban Republicans who've been voting Democratic voted Republican. Youngkin appears to me to be a sane person. They call him a junior Trump was really a stretch. And I don't think if he goes to Mar-a-Lago, that will be a big surprise to me. Because the smart thing for him to do is be the presidential candidate next time around by having an even keel platform. He's not against abortion. He's not against these big things. He talks a little bit about critical race theory that nobody knows anything about and kids in classrooms, but he wasn't against the vaccine and being vaccinated or any of that kind of stuff. So I think what the Dems have to do is what we've been saying for a long time, is that don't be radical, don't be this, that. Take your loaf, half a loaf, and run with it like it's the whole loaf. So don't get in recovery, because then you look weak.
I just want to underline, as you kind of pointed out there, Youngkin's strategy. I mean, just from what I've read, this is one that Republicans should definitely be paying attention to as it comes towards the 2022 midterms. On those local issues, on those issues that actually affect voters, I mean, he played to the base in rural areas. He shored up his support in the rural areas, but he didn't ignore the urban centres either. As you pointed out, the sort of suburban vote, he kept the race tight. So we could keep the race nice and tight in the more urban areas and then be backed up by rural voters.
Yeah. So that's what the Dems are going to have to do. They can't run nationally because the local member is a local member, just like here. And if you're running in Mossman or Parramatta, you got to speak to Mossman and Parramatta, not to French submarines. So I think that the overall thrust, the direction Biden's going in, he's at 47%. Trump never got to 47%. Let's not forget that. And that's, you know, down from 60-some percent. He got the biggest hit from Afghanistan. And in Virginia, a military place, that really hurt. New Jersey, a military place, that really hurt. Now, lick your wounds, move on.
One man we've spoken about who will have a great many fingers pointed at him is Senator Joe Manchin, who this week called for greater clarity and refused to back Biden's social spending bill without detailed analysis of its impacts, further delaying, obviously, Biden's plans. Now, the calls for greater clarity are, I think, a great touch, because anything mentioned says seems to be smoke and mirrors at this point. His sole goal seems to be delay, delay, delay the Democratic agenda as much as any Republican might do.
Yeah. I had a thought about that this morning, that Manchin is trying to be the middle-of-the-road Democrat, the old Democrat, with the view that if the party runs there, the chances of winning are better than if they run with the radical wing. He's trying to be counterbalance Ocasio-Cortez. So we'll see if that works. Biden says they think they'll have something by the end of this week. Manchin needs a little cover. The Congressional Budget Office has to say these gimmicks will work. And by the way, he signed on to the gimmicks. Mm. He signed on to the money from the rich. And so that Sinema, yeah, Sinema, a real show. the way this is going to play out, from my perspective, is that the Democrats, if they can get this up, use this as their new tricycle and run on prescription drugs and the things that weren't done with the first bill, run on those things, but from a local perspective. Mm. So your school lunches aren't enough. Are you getting enough housing vouchers? Are you getting enough of those things that people really want, but they need to see you're delivering them? Thus far, the Republicans, Yankin's the only Republican who's actually had a platform.
Biden has been out of town at COP26, and you'll remember last week, Ed, I was a bit skeptical about the impact of these endless climate conferences. But we do have some takeaways. Firstly, a large group of leaders have signed onto a deal aiming to reverse global deforestation over the next decade. This includes Joe Biden, Xi Jinping, who, of course, isn't actually attending, Jair Bolsonaro, which is an interesting one, and our own glorious leader, Scott Morrison. Any thoughts?
Everything was good up until you said the last one. Look, Bolsonaro's in trouble. Xi Jinping really believes in China climate change. He wants to do it his way, but he is really a believer. Because as he's building a middle class, they don't want to die of smoke. Mm. And they understand all this. Also, he has to have an internal consumption of something and revitalization. So I think he believes this. All the Europeans have been doing this, save Russia. And I didn't hear you mention Russia. As you know, I was there just before COVID hit. And I was in Siberia. And things are bad there. When I got there, it had not snowed for 2 years. Deforestation is really going on there, as well as methane coming up from the soil. So the Russians have some really unique problems they have to deal with. And it's going to be hard for them to deal with anything because their COVID is so bad. Their economy is in such weak shape. It is a real basket case. And my concern there is, with the amount of force they have, if we don't get some help to them to manage them, we remain in trouble.
You mentioned methane there, and sort of from the, I guess, global movements to the domestic, Biden's also taken the opportunity to unveil a suite of new policies to cut emissions of methane from domestic oil and gas operations, which, look, if it goes through, actually could be pretty significant, at least in my reading. Any thoughts?
Well, I think most of these actions can be put through the EPA as is without new legislation.
Mm.
So Biden is having worked in the Obama White House for 8 years, understands what you can do with executive orders. This is a good idea. People will say, I like it, but they won't know what you're talking about.
But it hasn't all been sunshine, particularly for Scott Morrison. There's been quite a bit of awkwardness surrounding the cancellation of Australia's $90 billion submarine contract with the French. Biden has said for his part, America's handling of the secret deal that led to the cancellation was clumsy. But compared to Scott Morrison, who Emmanuel Macron labelled a liar in one press conference, Biden's got off basically smelling like roses. What's your take, Ed?
I think that's exactly right. That Joe Biden was probably taken aback by the poor communications going on between Morrison and the French government, Macron. And there was no need for it. That's the whole thing. Everyone could see what was going on in the Pacific. And my last understanding of submarines is they're supposed to be silent. And an oil-driven submarine, it's hard to make it silent or have it run deep or have it be invisible for days, weeks at a time and not call on any ports. Because this submarine really is a strategic weapon and you want it popping up in places people don't even know about. So where were we going with a submarine that could only go so deep, that is propeller driven, making noises, right? It wouldn't get us there. Why we signed up to that deal in the first place is a bit embarrassing. That's the larger embarrassment. Secondly, why couldn't the French deliver a nuclear submarine? They certainly have nuclear everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone to them and said, look, if you can't do this, we'll go to the Americans, but not go to the Americans and then cancel the contract.
Yeah, I think it is worth pointing out, because diesel submarines absolutely have all those issues that you mentioned there. It was a bad idea, in my opinion, to sign on in the first place. Australia is the one that asked for diesel submarines. The French make nuclear submarines. They make nuclear submarines. Australia is the one who ordered diesel in the first place. So it's not much good pointing fingers at the French.
Yeah, when they can make a submarine, as I just said, that is nuclear. They have them for themselves. Why can't they make them for us? As a matter of fact, it would have been easier because they could have copied one of the ones they had.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make this thing from scratch.
Very strange times we live in sometimes.
Very strange times. Very, very, very strange times. In every respect.
Back on domestic news, and the CDC has signed off on a COVID vaccine for kids aged 5 to 11 in the States, as anticipated. Which means providers will be allowed to begin giving those 5 and up the jab immediately. Is there much to add on this, Ed? I mean, I don't suppose...
There are two things I'd like to say about this. One of them is, I think we'll have a little under 50% of families who are eligible for this taking advantage of it. A lot of low-income families, even if you give it to them free, won't take advantage of it because they've heard enough crap and they don't get anything from their kid getting the shot. It'll be pretty much a middle class and upper middle class thing. The other thing is the teachers are vaccinated now. So I see this as half measures are better than none. It looks like the US may actually reach that 70% target now that the police and other workers have to do it. Biden's taken a hit on that one, even from people who got the shots. But apparently, Chicago will continue to have police. New York will continue to have police. So, and the airlines are flying. So I think that Biden had to take some really tough, awful decisions. The only one I regret is the Afghanistan one, which could have been done nobler, cheaper, and better. And lives may have been put at risk there, probably the same number. But the way it was done was poor. The rest of the stuff he's been doing seemed to be on good advice rather than his own advice. And as a lawyer, I can tell you, if you're working on your own advice, I'm not going to work for you.
Across the pond for a moment, and there are fears of violence linked back to Brexit in Northern Ireland, where armed men hijacked and set fire to a double-decker bus earlier this week. Claims it was linked to unhappiness over Northern Ireland protocol negotiations. Any thoughts, Ed?
This Brexit thing is really super crazy. Because the British were worrying about getting out. And once they got out, they kept trying to finagle ways to get back in. And the people who really, like Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Scotland, who benefit so much from that North Atlantic trade, never wanted to get out at all. So a couple of butchers and bakers in the middle of the country pulled out, and now they're upset because they're not getting the bread dough and the good wine and so forth because they can't make the deliveries under the new protocols. So Brexit is a Brexit. Let's put a wager up. You pick your year. I'm saying 3 years from now, they'll be crawling back. What year do you think the crawl will start?
Yeah, goodness. The British Empire, always a very proud sort of empire, but I mean, 3 years does sound like a pretty good estimate. I'll go for five.
Okay. Well, we have to stay on the air just to make sure that we can check this one out.
And just before I let you go, Ed, Trump is this week to face a federal court hearing over his request to block the National Archives from handing over hundreds of documents regarding his actions leading up to and on the day of the January 6 coup. Presuming he fails, these documents are set to release on November 12th, which will make a nice birthday present for me. Anything to add?
Happy birthday. The thing that he's most nervous about is the log. There is a log of everyone who comes in and out of the White House. You check in and you check out. And that's for national security reasons. In the administrations I worked in, that log was published every day. In the Trump administration, it was not. So when Trump says he wants to keep it secret, where is it going to fall back? Is it going to say that Nixon didn't publish his, or Roosevelt, or whomever? So there's, when you're making a court argument, you have to have some kind of basis. Furthermore, what does this have to do with national security? If he says it has a lot to do with national security, now I want to know what's in it. So he's been turned down on all these matters. He's trying to string it out. That's all he's trying to do, string it out.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Remember to subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Also, check out Ed's other podcast, Pacific Conversations, wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on the Ed Talks website, edtalks.com.au.